You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
Wow. Dana just said off the air, Sam, you're right. Why, we're playing that at the beginning of the show because you said that once?
Yeah. I want to bask in the glory of the one time that you told me I was right.
Wow.
Hello, everybody.
Good afternoon. I will be talking with Bob Fesco here in about 10 minutes. Regarding the very strong possibility now that the Kansas City Royals are headed to Overland Park, 119th and Knoll. But before we get to that, Sam, would you care to share the story of what's been going on at your new home?
Yeah, what is going on, my new little homeowner friend?
Oh, my gosh,
that you just moved into 3 days ago.
It is getting wild. So I had mentioned to you on Tuesday that there were four different tree trimming services that showed up at my house, rang the doorbell, yes. Talked to my lovely girlfriend. Hey, we're here to trim your trees. We got called here on a bid, blah, 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 blah.
I said yesterday I thought someone had sold your information to some direct marketing place that says you need tree trimming services.
You guys, the text line, the phone lines, yeah. Everybody said this is par for the course when you buy a new house. Everybody's going to be showing up. Your doorbell is going to be ringing off the hook because these door-to-door cold knockers are going to be going around looking for business. Well, today I'm in my kitchen making breakfast, and doorbell rings. Lovely man. I walk out. Hey, how you doing? Yeah, is there a Wilson here? Nope, nobody named Wilson here. What's going on? Oh, I'm just here to check out your trees. Well, that's great. And then I explain to him that he is the seventh person to come to my door in the last 3 days looking for a guy named Wilson. So I said, hey, do you mind giving me the information that Wilson gave you?
Yeah.
So that I can get to the bottom of this. I'm really trying to figure out why you guys keep showing up because it's wasting your time.
It's wasting your time and freaking you out.
Well, wait.
Legitimate tree trimming service that could be out actually doing bids for people that need tree trimming service. And instead you're on my front door looking for a guy named Wilson who's not here.
But tell Dana what happened right after you told that guy, sorry, I'm not Wilson. Don't know what you're talking about.
I close and lock the front door, and I take my kitchen is about four steps from my front door, and I walk up to the stove, and I'm at the stove for maybe 10 seconds, and the doorbell rings.
No.
And out loud, I say, good God, man, go away. I told you I'm not Wilson. And I walk up to the door, and I unlock it. And it's a different guy.
Are you being punked, Sam? Are you being punked?
I asked you the same thing today, did I not?
Is someone playing a joke on you?
I have no idea. But I can only imagine that the first guy drove away at the exact moment that the second guy pulled up and parked. And the second guy probably thought, that's weird. Why is he driving away? So I talked to the guy. We have a full conversation about it. He had a Marine Corps hat on. So I was like, I can level with this guy and really get the good information out of him. I get Wilson's phone number, because apparently this guy's name is Wilson, because all eight of the tree trimming service people say, hey, we got a call from Wilson about needing some tree trimming service.
Okay.
I get Wilson's phone number. I get his email, and I start asking the guy more questions like, hey, you know, how did this go down?
Right.
What happened? Well, I got an email from Wilson saying that he needed some tree trimming service, left me his phone number. This guy tells me that Wilson was talking to him on the way to my house.
Oh, Sam, now I'm creeped out.
So Wilson is on the phone talking to Bob the tree trimmer. We'll give him a fake name. And is like, yeah, thank you so much for your expediency. I really need this tree trimming service, all this different stuff. And I'm getting this from the tree trimmer.
Right.
Who would have no reason to be lying to me about what's going on. And he's like, yeah, I literally just got off the phone with him. I don't know what's going on. So I look up his phone number.
Do you believe him?
Yeah. Oh, very genuine guy.
Okay.
I mean, I have no reason to think that
he was
pulling a fast one on me.
Well, the seventh of eight. Yes, Sam. I'm starting to believe the tree trimmers.
This was eight of eight. And we had like a 10-minute conversation. Of course, my breakfast is burning inside. But I look up the phone number, and it does not exist.
Okay.
It's a real number. If you call it, it rings, and it sends you to voicemail. But, there's 50 different services
where you can
track somebody's information through their phone number.
What is the scam, Sam?
I have no idea.
Did you post, I hope, in large block letters on a sheet of paper on your front door, we have not ordered tree trimming services. We do not know why you are here. Please, no soliciting.
Well, I got the no soliciting signs, which do nothing because they're not soliciting.
No, you called them, but
right.
You didn't.
Exactly. Somebody called them, sent them to my address, and said, hey, my name's Wilson. I need some tree trimming service. Okay. It's also interesting because we're the fourth owners of the home.
None of them were named Wilson.
We know the names of every previous owner, none of which was Wilson.
Right. Okay. It's not an accident, Sam, because no one accidentally gives someone's address wrong 8 times in a row. This is either a joke or a scam.
Or you're getting punked.
The phone number is from San Francisco. But again, when I looked it up on the number tracking services, according to the number tracking services, the number does not exist. They say there are zero records of this phone number existing in their file.
Okay, a couple of things. I'm not going to give the street out that you live on.
I appreciate that.
But I've looked it up. There is only one street named that way in all of the Kansas City metro. Okay. So this is not, oh, we should have been in Overland Park, but we're in Kansas City.
Yeah.
Okay? There is only one street in the entire metro named like the street that you live on.
So we are the only home with that address. By the way, the two guys today are the only two that I've been able to talk to because the rest happened while I was here. Beth answered the door.
Here's my other point. Have you ever met a man named Wilson?
Wilson.
There is a volleyball named Wilson.
Correct, Wilson!
In a movie called Castaway.
No, never met a man named Wilson.
I think you're getting punked.
I want someone on the text line to tell us what would the end game be? Because I don't think it's a scam. If it was one company repeatedly coming over, I would be like, okay, they're trying to take your money.
And I know it's different companies because each of them left their card. Like, hey, yeah, you have some mature trees, though, if you need some service.
Oh, my
gosh. Here's my card.
How many people have you given your address to? I don't even know your address.
Zero.
I didn't even know what street you lived on until I asked you today.
So zero.
You've given your address to zero people.
That is correct.
And you haven't made anyone mad lately, or you don't owe anyone like a bookie.
Or you got a funny guy in the family.
I do have a funny guy in the family, but I don't think he would be doing it. I haven't told him my address.
I honestly, Sam, you have to put a sign on your door that says we are getting repeated visits from tree trimming services we have not ordered. Just put it on the door.
Yeah.
No Wilson here.
I think number 8 heard me yell because it wasn't quiet.
Good God,
I just yelled at the microwave, go away. I told you, Wilson's not here.
And that was the Marine.
Yeah, that was the guy that I had a full conversation with who gave me all the information. And I think he could see the frustration in my eyes. Like, what in the world is going on?
Wait. He said, or the guy before him said, that they had a full conversation with Wilson, right?
The last guy.
Okay.
Bob the tree trimmer.
But you call the number and it doesn't exist.
That is correct. Well, no, I called it. It rings. It goes to voicemail.
Does the guy say, hi, this is Wilson?
No, it says...
you've reached 816.
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah. Eight times.
Did you leave a message?
I did not.
Oh!
Well, so my goal was, I was going to, if he picked up the phone, Wilson, whoever you are, wherever you are, my goal was I was going to pretend to be the owner of a tree trimming service in Kansas City, having received a request from this guy and saying, hey, you know, they said no. I was going to act like I was one of the tree trimmers who got scammed, and he didn't answer the phone.
Why don't you let me take the phone number, Sam, and I will call from a – does anyone have one of those Boost phones?
Well, you can just call from the newsroom.
I need a burner phone.
No, I was calling from the newsroom. I didn't use my cell phone. I don't want Wilson to have my phone number. He obviously already knows my address.
You tell me you were going to put a bloody palm print on his face and kick him into the ocean?
No, but I would want to know why, because it's so unusual.
It is incredibly odd. I bought the whole, it's just people cold knocking on the door.
Not 8 times.
And then when Mary Beth even told me, she was like, the first 6 wanted Wilson too. And I was like,
oh, really?
All 8 have said, hey, Wilson called us and said, we have some tree trimming services that we need.
Okay. And in your life, back to my original point, how many men have you met named Wilson?
Somewhere between zero and zero.
And you've never scorned anyone or stolen someone's girlfriend who had a prior partner named Wilson, like, or a tree trimmer? Have you made a tree trimmer angry?
No.
Okay.
And by the way,
his name's not on the mortgage.
I know.
So there's no way to find out that address.
That's true. Our trees are also beautifully manicured. They were trimmed prior to us purchasing them.
You know what we ought to do, Scott? We ought to tomorrow just start sending plumbers over there.
Oh, my God. Can you imagine? Plumbers and painters.
Like bee excavators. Wilson. Just totally random, obscure.
Anthony Plumbing, Heating, and Cooling. Is Wilson here?
Did you order skunk removal?
Whoever you are, wherever you are, I will find you. and knock it off.
All right, we'll visit with Bob Fesco from 96.5 The Fan in just a moment.
Oh, why would we be doing that? Yeah.
Is it possible that the Kansas City Royals are about to become the Overland Park Royals? We'll get with Bob in just a moment here on Dana and Parks. I believe this is Bob Fesco's favorite song. The Royals have confirmed with Fox 4 that a business affiliated with the team has bought the mortgage of a possible stadium site in Johnson County, the old Sprint campus site at 119th and Knoll. Bob, how much do you love that song?
You know, I almost hung up. I'm going to be honest with you.
Yep. I would have too, Bob. It's a horrible song, and it's horribly overused.
It's a terrible song.
I'd like to apologize on behalf of the entire staff here at Odyssey.
Wait, I'm sorry. What did you just say? Can you repeat that?
Apologize on behalf of the entire staff.
And Sam.
Yeah, I mean, like, it's. I hope when the new stadium at 119th and Knoll opens, they never play that song again.
Ever.
Because it is so overplayed. Every ballpark in America thinks like they're unique and they're doing something different by playing John Fogerty center field. Can somebody please write a new song for baseball?
Okay, that being said, I would say, as part of the news media / entertainment industry here for 30 years, I think most people are also sick and tired of waiting to figure out where the Royals and the Chiefs are going to land. Scott and I have even said this, Bob. We're tired of talking about it. Please tell us it's almost over. It is the most read story on all of the news websites today, this business out over by 119th and Knoll.
Yeah, I told everybody this was happening in October, and some people chose to listen, and other people tried to treat me as a liar. So, I mean, I see this stuff come out. I'm like, yeah, we've been telling you this since October. This is what was going to happen. I mean, if people would just pay attention and listen and not be so ready to rip people and tell them they're wrong and tell them they don't know what they're talking about or we're idiots or any kind of stuff like that that the media's painted on, you would have known, oh, Fesco's been saying this since October, they're going to 119th and all.
I want full credit. We put you on in October when you reported
story. You know, you're one of the good ones. You're one of the good ones, and I appreciate you guys for that and love you to the day I die for that.
Is this a,
and for other things.
Is this happening, no, or is this just one of those strong
bargaining chips?
I'm going to be honest. Have you seen what's going on the other side of the state line? I
mean, not enough, not soon enough.
Well, and here's the thing. And this is how I simplify it for everybody. And I'm with you. I'm tired of talking about it. I'm tired of, you know, discussing this. The good news is there is a hard end date of June 30th. We know that. I mean, so we're only another month away from the hard date of when we have to know what's going on. And well,
whose deadline is that, Bob?
State of Kansas. The star bonds expire on June 30th. They sunset. So we have to have a decision by June 30th or the star bonds go away and the state of Kansas is out. And so that's why the decision of June 30th is there. The free money, no vote in the state of Kansas is on the table until June 30th. Both teams have an opportunity to take a star bond package from the state with no vote of the public required to build their new stadiums. Or they can mess around with whatever's going on in the state of Missouri right now. I was just reading something from Channel 9 that they posted about, you know, some Freedom Caucus is mad and the Democratic side is now mad as well.
Jeff City's a mess with this stuff.
It's a mess. So let me ask you this. Just take your own personal life into, you know, account, however you want to do it, right? Mm-hmm. You have an opportunity to take free money, be free and clear. It's your money. You don't have to answer to anybody, really. You don't have to put it to a public vote. They're giving you this money to build this complex. Or you can deal with Jefferson City. Which one are you going to do?
I'm taking the free money.
But Bob, absolutely. Let me ask you this. Let's take it a step further, because I don't think they're going to get it done in Jeff City, because unless you're a representative of this area, you don't care. All of the representatives in Jeff City that you know, represent the boot heel of Missouri down in the Oak, they don't care if we lose the Chiefs or the Royals or any of it. What happened with the conversation in the state of Kansas on the KCK Speedway side and now the Sprint Campus side? And please just allow us to keep calling it the Sprint Campus for simplicity's sake. Why is one better than the other? And then why has the conversation shifted from, oh, the Legends, it's going to be at the Legends. And then all of a sudden, oh, wait, they've bought the mortgage from the Sprint Center.
Yeah, well, and again, like I told people, this was happening in October, right? And you know, there's going to be a book someday, Dana, and it's going to be glorious. It's just like, I mean, it's going to be so good with how a lot of this went down at some point in time. I just can't say a lot now, obviously. But like when the book is written and it's 1995 and I'll do autograph signings for everybody and you can get a copy, it'll spell out everything. I believe if you're asking me my thoughts, my educated guess, the Legends is for the Chiefs and the Sprint campus site has always been for the Royals. Wow. Here's the thing about that. Okay, so there's so much we can go into because I do have a gut feeling that the Chiefs are going to walk as well. And that's going to be coming up pretty quick because, again, June 30th is the deadline. I'm not 100% sure on the Chiefs and what they're going to do because I know how much the Hunt family loves Arrowhead because, you know, their dad built the stadium and that was his vision. And so I think there's a little bit more of that kind of nostalgic pull for the Hunt family. But at the end of the day, the only way to grow and get better and increase your revenues locally is to build you know, the new ballpark in the area around it, because in the sports world, you build the new stadium, you build the area around it. That's all your money to keep. You don't have to split that with the other, you know, 31 teams in football and the other 29 teams in baseball. And so these are big now market revenue generators. I was just reading an article this morning about what they call the Battery in Atlanta, where the Braves play. And it's basically what the Royals want to do with Sprint Campus. The Sprint Campus site is bigger than what the Battery is. And the Battery has 22 bars and restaurants. Oh, they have apartments. They have four Fortune 500 companies headquartered in the Battery, and they have hotels and stuff like that. And it's all owned by the team, and they make their money off of that. It's basically a user tax. That's how this thing gets paid back. So if you never set foot on Sprint Campus or go to a Royals game, you'll never pay 1 cent for a billionaire to have a billionaire stadium, as people like to say, right? Because it's basically a user tax that gets put in to the to the bill. That's what the Star Bond is. It is a user tax. So if you go to the game, there will be a, you know, a tax like there is everywhere for everything, you know, and you will pay that. But if you don't utilize that area, then you won't have a user tax. Now, I'm also told they've talked about, you know, kind of bringing in Town Center Plaza into that Star Bond district as well, so they can start paying off the stadium 4 years before they even open the stadium. And so that's what I think is going to happen. I believe it's going to be the Battery area at 119th is what I call it, because that's the Braves facility, a mixed use area, which Asperia in their press release back in March telling me I was a fool, basically, we're not for sale. How did you not know you were for sale, but Bob Fesco knew you were for sale and you were getting bought from underneath your nose? How is that possible?
Tell me you're a little bitter without telling me you're a little bitter.
Oh, I'm not bitter at all. I'm just laying it all out here, Scott. Like, these people who own this campus had no idea this stuff was going on around them, and I did. I find it to be rather humorous, quite honestly.
Let me ask you this, though, Bob. How do you read this? And I'm quoting here from the Fox 4 story. The Royals have confirmed that a business affiliated with the team, blah, 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 blah. What is a business affiliated with the Royals? What does that mean?
Okay, so I'll explain that, too, because it's a good question. There's about 26 different ownerships inside the Royals. I think the number is 25, 26 different ownership groups that all own their own businesses, right? Like, say you purchased part of the Royals and your business was, I don't know, you were a hotelier or something like that. You owned a bunch of hotels in town. Or Dana bought into the Royals and her business was whatever it was, she owns that business.
Or dare I say, maybe I'm the quarterback of the Kansas City Chiefs.
Whatever. It could be anything.
Yeah, right, exactly. And I was going to get to that. I was like, Stone Street's the example that I use because I love him to death, and it's easy to use this example with Eric Stone Street because everybody knows who he is. Every time Eric Stone Street puts out something new, movie, TV show, commercial, whatever the case it is, the Royals aren't sending a press release out about what Eric Stone Street's doing or any other owner in their other businesses. You're not getting a press release from the Royals on that. This is somebody that is affiliated with the Royals ownership group, obviously, that purchased this land for, you know, for whatever reason. If it was to do whatever they wanted to do with it, like if they were purchasing it to put up a McDonald's, I'm not sure the Royals would release a press release on something one of their owners is doing for one of their other businesses.
Is it possible that Patrick Mahomes bought it?
No, Patrick did not buy that, no.
Because he's in the ownership group, if I'm not mistaken.
Well, but there are a lot of people with very large wallets that are part of that ownership group.
Yeah, like, we think Patrick Mahomes is loaded. Patrick Mahomes is probably the poor man at the table in this conversation, you know?
Okay. You don't see the Royals going downtown now?
No. I think that is, like, I'm to the point now where if this doesn't happen at spring campus, I'll be stunned. If it doesn't happen, but again, you know, we're still awaiting and everybody's playing out their options. But the good news is for all of us that have been covering this for the last, I don't know, umpteen months, or however long it's been. And for you guys, you kind of started this thing. There's a hard out by June 30th. We'll know one way or the other. And the good news is we have Kansas and Missouri bidding on these teams. We're not worried about Nashville. We're not worried about Portland. We're not worried about Las Vegas. We're not worried about, you know, some other place that's, you know, far away stealing our teams. This isn't stealing our teams. This is getting our teams the best possible deals to set them up for the future. And one other thing about the Sprint campus, 55% of season ticket holders are within a 5-mile radius of that area for the Royals. Huh.
Let me ask you this, Bob. Final question. If, in fact, both teams, or let's just say one team, jumps across state line, when will we see the political fallout?
Well, I don't know. That's interesting to think about, because Mayor L is not up for re-election. And I mean, other than him and Frank White, who else is there that people would have the fallout with?
And it would be Frank. I mean, somebody said the other day he would be run out of town. I don't know that that's accurate, because he's in so much hot water over other things. But at the end of the day, was he not the major blockade here?
Oh, yeah.
Yes. Oh, of course. Yeah. Frank White will go down as, like, look, I think they should unretire his number and throw his statue into the Missouri River.
Easy.
He's a .216 postseason hitter. We've acted like he was some great baseball player over these years. He was a nice baseball player. And now his legacy is going to be most likely
that he lost the Royals.
Did you cry, Bob? Did you cry when John Rave got his very first major league hit last night? Because I did go.
How could you not?
He is the most darling child.
Cool. Yeah, it's so cool for, like, the major league debut. There's nothing better in sports.
Go Royals.
I have one more quick question. What about the infrastructure around 119th and Knoll? That is two lanes in both directions.
Go to the Bristol.
And people, there are a lot of businesses down there. A lot of people live down there. And Knoll is two lanes in both directions.
Right, and on game day, I was told, I don't know, 2 months ago, it's going to be four lanes in each direction towards 435, you know, southbound on, you know, when they're coming into the game, and northbound when they're leaving.
Huh. All right, Bob Fesco.
So they will reroute that traffic for, you know, a hot 30 minutes after the game.
Save the Stoli Dolly. Good chat.
We love you.
We'll see you tonight.
See you guys later. We'll see you tonight.
Oh, yeah, we'll see you at the major leagues. That'll be fun.
That'll be a lot of fun, yes.
Okay, is your lovely wife going to be there?
Of course, she's already there now. So if you guys could get there in the next half hour, that would be great.
That's not going to happen.
Hey, I'd love to.
All right, Bob. Be good, buddy.
See you. Love you.
All right. That's Bob Fesco from 96.5. The Fan phone lines are open. If you want in, 913-586-7798. According to Bob, it is very likely that the Kansas City Royals are moving to 119th and Knoll.
Royals released a statement on this very thing late yesterday. What does that say?
913-586-7798. 586-7798 here on Dana and Parks. Sam, that's actually a really good question. If the Royals were to go to Overland Park, or try to go to Overland Park, would that need to be approved by the city, not by the residents, but possibly by the city council? I mean,
if it went to a vote of the residents, as someone who drove down Knoll every single day for many years of my life, I would be a no vote.
Yeah, because you lived in the area.
Yeah, it was already a pain to drive down Knoll. You want to throw in an extra 15,000 cars?
Well, but Overland Park is larger than 119th and Knoll. Even if it did go to a vote of the people, which it would not, I would bet it would be overwhelmingly in favor of bringing the Royals there.
Yeah, but my vote's the most important.
Regarding the city council, I would find it very hard to believe that the city council would not approve having a major league sports franchise in their city. almost impossible to believe. Now, here's the great question, if I may, regarding what Bob said at the end. You know, I said, what about the infrastructure? Well, they would run 435, check that, null south, four lanes before the game, and then northbound, four lanes after the game. How do you get on 435 eastbound? Let's say you live in Lee Summit or Blue Springs or whatever, Kansas City, Missouri. How do you get on 435 eastbound if you're stuck in the left lane? Yes, Sam.
There are two hospitals on Knoll, that correct. Specific stretch of Knoll. You cannot restrict traffic flow
correct.
For ambulances.
But Sam,
one of which is a children's hospital.
I'm telling you right now.
Sorry, Timmy.
I'm telling you right now that all of those I's have already been dotted and all of those T's have already been crossed. You would not buy that property and not know that Menorah and Mercy are seated right there and there would be traffic. You just wouldn't. Right. That stuff, I guarantee you, has already been figured out.
So if you're wondering about the Chiefs, where would they go? They would likely go north of where they're building the new American Royal. And I just showed
in KCK.
Dana. Correct. At the Legends. And I just showed Dana a Google Earth image of that area. It is, I'm sure there are some houses sprinkled in there, but it is all but vacant land. There is plenty of room for the Chiefs, if they wanted to build a big, gigantic stadium, state-of-the-art, and still have all the room that they could possibly want to build an entertainment district, which is what they really wanted out at the Truman Sports Complex. But that was rejected by the voters to keep the Chiefs and the Royals in Kansas City, Missouri. So, you know, to everybody who's writing in saying, well, I'll never go to a Royals game if they ever move to Kansas, or I'll never go to the Chiefs if they're in Kansas City, Kansas. First of all, that's not true. You will. And second of all, you have no one to blame but yourselves. This was put to a vote in April in Jackson County. And Jackson County said, no, thank you.
Also, well, after Jackson County was asked to open their checkbooks and lose their homes over
point.
The property tax debacle.
Fair
and
point.
Not to mention at the last minute, and
this is on Jackson County. This is not on the fans.
A beloved neighborhood that they've been working to grow for the last 25 years.
I said this to Scott off the air, Sam. I do think that the Royals going to Town Center, for lack of a better word,
yeah.
is the best possible thing that could have happened to the state of Missouri with respect to the Chiefs. Because I do not believe even the lawmakers outside of this territory would allow both sports teams to cross state line. And so I think if you follow what I'm saying here, if the Royals in fact say, we're done, we're moving to Town Center, Overland Park's rolling out the red carpet, the state of Kansas is rolling out the red carpet, I think at that point, everybody, it's all hands on deck. They say, we're not losing the Chiefs to Kansas. What do you want?
Well, but...
They're not going to lose both, are they?
A city has, Oakland.
Yeah, I know. Isn't that all the more reason that Missouri wouldn't want to lose both?
Think about this. If the Chiefs and the Royals both leave the state of Missouri, that leaves Missouri with only two major sports franchises, both in St. Louis, the Blues and the Cardinals. And that's it. A state with more than 5 million people has the same number of major sports franchises, and if we're going to count MLS, fewer sports franchises than a state to the west of 2.5 million people. But this card has been misplayed so poorly by Jackson County in particular and the state of Missouri secondarily than anything I've probably ever seen in my life. Let's go to Bob on line one. Hey, Bob, what's up?
Hey, I'm on Knoll now.
Okay.
And we've got three lanes each direction, north and south, from about 119th to 435.
Oh, it is three lanes in each direction?
And we do have turning lanes also.
Then I stand corrected, Bob. I apologize for that.
Three lanes, and it'll still be a debacle with traffic. So,
well, and one thing I was saying to, and you're welcome to weigh in on this, I'm assuming you either work or live in the area.
Work in the area.
You work in the area. Okay. Keep in mind, if there's a game at 6:35 at night or 7 o'clock at night, you're dealing with people trying to get home from work or to their homes, because a lot of people live in that area. And you're talking about anywhere between 15 and 45,000 people trying to get to the stadium.
Yes.
Depending on the night and the game.
It'll be busy. It'll be busy. But I think Dana hit the nail on the head when she said they probably already crossed all those T's and dotted those I's.
Yeah, you're not going to buy that, Bob, and go, we'll figure out traffic later. That's just not going to happen.
No. They've done enough development down here. They know exactly what they have to do to move people around. So they're going to have that under control if they choose this area. Unless somebody from the Royals purchased this for another planned project that has nothing to do with the Royals.
Well, let me ask you.
And that's always a possibility. But Bob, there's a lot of development here.
Bob, you work in the area. Do you want the stadium down there?
Well, I think that it would make it would be a great place for it, but I think that it's going to cause a lot of trouble with residents and other businesses because of the traffic. Mm-hmm. I just think that it's going to cause about as many issues as it provides a tax base for the state and everything. Hmm. So I think there's better places for it around Kansas City. But, you know, I don't get to make that decision.
Right on. Hey, appreciate the call, man. Thank you for it.
Yeah. Have a good day.
Bye. Be well.
I'm sure they have had deep conversations about traffic and where the logistics need to lie for a stadium. But we have to remember that what the logistics looked like for downtown was simply, well, there's enough parking. When we all know, anytime there's an event down there, there's not enough parking.
That's true. And keep in mind, we're running out of time. I don't know how long it takes to build a stadium, a Major League Baseball stadium, but I would guess it's several years. The lease expires in six at the Truman Sports Complex for the Royals. So I would doubt it takes 6 years to build a stadium, but you better get moving soon. Matt in Kansas City. Matt, hello.
Hey, guys. I'm a all my life Missourian. I live in Kansas City, and granted, my bias goes one way because I'm not a big sports fan. You know, I always root for the Royals and the Chiefs, but I just don't follow them.
Okay.
This is a good thing. As a Missourian and as a citizen of Kansas City, this is a good thing. I look at it from a very utilitarian point of view. All of the headaches you guys are talking about that would end up at 119th and Null, those become the problems of the people at 119th and Null. Johnson County, time for you to start pulling your weight. You know, tax revenue coming in for the county and the state, yeah, fine, that's great. But again, like you said, all of the headaches become the county and the state's headache. I-70 and I-35, again, strictly utility speaking, I-70, I-35, very important arteries. And every time there's any kind of game, I-70 turns into a parking lot.
Yeah, it does.
Not to say that won't happen on 435 and I-35 if they go there. And also, additionally, if the Royals move to 119th and Null, and if the Chiefs move to north of the Legends, too many ifs in that sentence, then you have a great swath of flat, relatively flat developed land that is just prime real estate for real money generation. You know, we got data centers coming up like weeds. You can always, you know, afford to put in some more manufacturing or industry. It's a great spot, logistically speaking, for Missouri to campaign to have someone come in and develop that for some good quality industry, good quality jobs, good quality tax base.
No, Matt, no question about that. Matt, no question about what you just said, but why hasn't that occurred already?
Because the politicians are too busy trying to get as many dollars as they can get reelected. Hmm. You know, Frank White, you guys mentioned him.
Huh? All right. Hey, do appreciate the call. 913-586-7798. Dana Wright, Sam Stevie III. My name is Scott Parks here on KMBZ. Next hour on the program, a third of storefronts on the plaza are now vacant. A third on the plaza.
Could you afford $30,000 to $50,000 a month in rent?
Nope.
$70,000?
Nope.
$100,000?
Nope.
Can you imagine what club of four lease?
Everyone wants the Plaza to be what it was, all mom and pop shops, and I do too, with the exception of a couple of the major, like Capital Girls, got to stay.
Barnes and Noble.
Right. Everyone wants it to be quaint and mom and pop. I don't think there's enough stuff that you can sell as a mom and pop to make a go down there. Victoria's Secret folded up. What does that tell you?
What do you think the rent is on Barnes and Noble? That has three stories. That's a big store.
Yeah. You know who can afford it? Starbucks.
Yeah. Barnes and Noble.
It makes me sad. Books.
Starbucks closed down.
That's right.
Because of the crime.
Also coming up, we have a dangerous inmate that is apparently missing, roaming around Johnson County. And I asked Scott this, Sam, during the break. If the inmate is so dangerous, and to be considered so dangerous, call 911 immediately when you see him. Why was he out on work release?
By the way, ladies, he's a catch. You should see the neck tattoo.
Oh, it's something. Oh, it's a line forms to the left.
I'm sure. I'm surprised that you could see the neck tattoo through the goatee. I mean, that thing was
epic.
Oh, yeah.
Let's go to Candace in Mission. Candace, good afternoon. Hello.
Well, you guys just solved all of my problems. I think that the Royals should just move to the Plaza.
There you go.
Very good.
That would cover everything, right? Keep it in Missouri and leave Johnson County alone.
I live
off Nall, and I'm like, my blood pressure is going up. When I lived in Seattle, I lived not far from the Mariners Stadium, and it is terrible because there are so many games in baseball.
Right,
it's not
right.
Football where you get one a week for 14 weeks. I mean, it is all the time for hours and hours and hours. I don't understand why you would take the premier spot in Johnson County, in that area, and put a stadium there, an MLB stadium. It just, to me, it makes no sense. And I mean, just the years of construction alone is going to take, not to mention.
But would it be years of, Candace? I agree with you with the traffic. It would be more than a year, but I don't think it would be significantly more than that. I think the traffic patterns and the fallout from putting so many games there.
No, it will be multiple years, because not only will they have to build the stadium, they're going to have to raise the stuff that's there. It's not like there's a field. I mean, I'm expecting probably at least 3 years of just construction.
Now, Candace, in fairness, you know, the average Royals game, once the season gets underway, you know, opening day obviously is 45,000 people. And if they make the playoffs, then you're talking about 45,000 people again. But in the middle of the season, you know, like right now, my guess is that the Royals are averaging probably somewhere between 12 and 20,000 people a game. All right. Now, granted, a lot of people. But the Sprint campus employed 18,000 people, and nobody seemed to complain about 18,000 people going to the Sprint campus every morning and every night.
Yeah. That's a little different, is it not?
It's the same number of people.
No, but it's not the same. I mean, it's going to be people trying to get in there for however many hours before the game to do whatever tailgating they want. Then it's going to be people driving out mostly drunk after it.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not. And I also, how does this fit into FinServe and the 2,000 supposedly high-paying jobs that are supposed to go in there in the next few months?
Yep.
I don't.
That would have to be relocated.
The whole thing makes no sense to me at all. I mean, Wyandotte County makes a ton of sense. They have so much space. They can do what they want. I really hope everybody is wrong.
All right, Candace, we got you in. Dan in Overland Park. Hello, Dan.
Hey, how you guys doing?
We're doing well. Thank you for asking.
Well, I live about four blocks south of the Sprint campus, and I couldn't be more excited about this. The idea that I could just walk from my house to ball games is the thrill of a lifetime. I couldn't be more pumped about it. Logistically, it's complicated, yeah, but anything worth doing is complicated. So
Yep. People
will adjust. And just so you know, like the Royals, John Sherman's been wanting to go downtown this entire time. He's been very obvious about that. And when Jackson County said no to him, he had to look at other options. Well, most people in professional sports aren't building these downtown stadiums anymore. In Atlanta, they made an amazing shopping area around a baseball stadium so that they could use it year-round and get revenue every day of the year. That's what comes with this at the Sprint campus. You get all of the additional revenue from, you know, more shopping, more restaurants, more everything around this thing, so you can gain more. This would be great for the neighborhood. And to that point you were just making, the Sprint campus was made for like 25,000 employees. We're talking about 25,000 different cars coming in and out of there. Nobody ever complained about traffic when that was full. And it still has a lot of traffic going in and out of there now when it's like 70% full. So the traffic will take care of itself. Do I want it all going through my neighborhood? No. Maybe we can cut it off so it doesn't go through the residential sections and people can get in and out better. They can work through all of that. But it's an attractive area. The attractive piece, from what I understand, is not also the corner of 119th and Knoll. The attractive piece to this and why that real estate is valuable for a stadium has more to do with the parking garages that are already built, so that they don't have to rebuild those things, which are very expensive to do, and you don't get a lot of money out of parking garages. So the value is in the center of that campus, not the corner of it that's undeveloped at this point.
Dan, so, you bring up a great point. Let me echo it, if I may, steal your thought. When the Sprint campus was built, you said 25,000. I thought it was 18,000. Regardless, it doesn't matter. Every person who drove to the Sprint campus, my guess would be, drove alone in their own car.
Right.
Okay?
Okay.
Nobody goes to, and so we're talking about.
That's more, you're right.
Monday through Friday, 18,000, give or take, cars going up and down 119th and Knoll. Nobody goes to a game by themselves. So let's say on a given night, everybody's just me and my guest. And there's 18,000 people going to the game. That's only 9,000 cars as opposed to 18,000 cars that used to travel that road. Why do you disagree?
I feel like with work and rush hour, because there were a lot of arteries at the Sprint Center, there's a lot of different ways to get in there.
Right.
People are coming generally from 6:30 a.m. to 9 a.m. or leaving between 4 p.m. and 6 p.m. With the ball game, isn't everyone funneling in at the same time to get in there?
Not necessarily, because a lot of people like to go there and tailgate before a baseball game. Throw the ball around, barbecue, whatever.
Yeah.
Now, everybody does leave roughly at the same time, but it's at 10 o'clock at night or 9:30 at night.
But to Dana's point, with the number of people coming in at one time, there are, as she mentioned, many different arteries. As someone who, again, lived in the area, went to the gym in the area, I see cars coming and going from all of the different arteries because those people work there every single day. So they know in their mind,
right,
if I go down Glenwood, I can go in the back way. It'll be quicker. That alleviates the amount of traffic on Knoll and 119th Street. With people putting into Google Maps Royals Stadium, they're all going to be going down 109 or down Knoll.
All right. Quick break for the news. That's coming up here at the top of the hour. Dana Wright, Sam Stevie III. My name is Scott here on KMBZ.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.